Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome. Joining me, of course, is Pat and John in the extra hour of VFN Radio. We have been talking about love. We're talking about, you know, because this is what we were told. Jesus says that in the last days, the love of most will go cold because of an increase in darkness, lawlessness. And we're also told by Jesus that it'll be the same as the days of Noah, which was 24/7 lawlessness. And then we're also told by Jesus that we can preach about a kingdom that we won't enter into. And Paul breaks it down in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talks about, you know, if you do all this but you don't have love, it's just useless. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 7 that you know them by their fruit. You won't know them by what they do. We talked about the who do aspect of that. And so the fruit is love. I mean, that's the big thing, because when you love, just everything comes. You want to see more miracles. You want to see more. Have a little compassion for folks. You know, you have people that are, that they're really wanting to see miracles because they want to see, they're like X Factor or American Idol type folks. They just want to get, they want a stage so they can actually be the distributor of healings and miracles, versus this little lady that sees this person who's broken and just heart breaks over this person, and she walks up and begins to lay hands on her and prays for her, and God just heals that person. Bam. Because love, God was present. You know, and it's, and every time you would see Jesus, compassion would move on him, and the power of God would move through him, and God would heal somebody. And it just flows, and compassion is a key component, or love. And so we're finding out, you know, okay, if it's going to grow cold, if in the last days men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of pleasure, we got to keep guard over this. And so, you know, we'll find out what love is. And so we're breaking it down, and we're kind of keeping up with it in regards to, you can listen to the last part of this as we're talking about it and going through the list of it. And after this, we're going to talk about a prophetic dream that I was given, talking about the beast economy as we go into the 11th Alinsky tactic, the dark organizers of the dark versus Jesus, organizer of the day, and more of that aspect of it. But you know, he said, so he's saying love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps, and this is the one we're at now, it keeps no records of wrongs. I mean, imagine how much hard drive space that you would have in your computer, how much writer's cramp you would not have if you would just stop writing down everybody's wrongs. I mean, think about it. And I'm just going to give you an example of that. There was this couple, and this couple was really struggling with their, they wanted to be able to have a better marriage. They wanted to be able to have a better marriage, and so they were seeking counseling in the context of that, and light counseling, of course, the Word of God. And as the counseling sessions go on, all of a sudden you find out that the wife begins to say that, well, my husband's always kept a record of my wrongs. You're thinking, okay, well, you know, everybody, you know, we get to get over that kind of stuff that kind of happens. So I said, well, Tracy, a little joke from the Navy Fed. Anyway, the I said, because I was just thinking, you know.
Right. You know.
He remembers everything.
Sure. Something. Right.
He's melancholy. You know. And
he has a mental notebook.
He has a mental notebook. But then she goes on and explains a little bit. He actually had a physical written manual notebook. And there from the day they got married, every time she did something wrong, he would write it down. I mean, every single thing. So no matter how good she did, she knew that book was there. I know you're thinking, John's thinking, like, Teresa would have volumes.
Is that what I'm thinking? That's interesting.
You're right.
Not enough books in the world.
Not thinking that at
all. You're not offended, are you?
No, not thinking that at all. I'm just thinking somebody will go to that type of length to write something.
Oh, I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm keeping a steady face. I'm looking, I'm thinking, my heart's just breaking. I'm thinking, how do you come out of this? Because there is no love there at all. If somebody's writing down I mean, it's already difficult. They're remembering everything, can't get over it. But the fact is that they're writing every single thing down. Mm-hmm. Everything. It's like all of a sudden something happens and you see them walk over and pick up a book. You're like, oh, number 3,600. Could you imagine? I had to just go there for a moment, you know, and say, Lord, I know you're going to forgive me for this, but I'm about to whip that boy with that journal. I give you something to write in your journal. Yeah.
Write this one.
It's like, it's so blinding because he has no idea, or she has no idea, or whoever's doing this has no idea that, you know, ever how you treat others, how you're going to be treated. So everything that you've ever done is being written on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you.
That's right.
And so I'm thinking, wow, and this is major. And I'm never going to counsel again. No, I'm going to just preach the gospel. No. And so then it gets worse.
Worse?
Yeah, it gets worse.
Wow.
It gets worse that he runs out of manuals. He runs out of written manuals. So it becomes a digital database.
Oh, my God.
So now she had all of her perceived wrongs written in a manual.
Mm.
And then she had all of, and then a database. I mean, that's serious stuff. That's what, you know, Google.js is doing today, man, keeping that database on everybody. And a deep Jay-Z spirit that would kind of hold this man, I guess. And how could you ever get free from that? Because love does not keep records of wrongs. And the most freeing thing that you can do is let people go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, dear God, you know, I mean, this is a marriage. So, you know, this is going to be difficult. I mean, it's difficult with the whole mental notes, but, you know. And so I said, okay, I want you to do. I want you to come in. I want you to bring all of your library of books and journals and all the data on disk and just bring it to the next meeting. And erase it off of the computers and all that, and just keep it on that aspect of it. And so he has a big truck, boop, 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 backing up, and the forklifts, dollies, and everything. No, it was just, it doesn't take much. And so we come in, we're talking about, you know, okay, and this is the next step then. You're gonna have to forgive her, and you're gonna have to let her go.
Mm.
And it was like, he had this sense of, I own her because I hold this against her. But the truth is, she owns you. You were owned by your own unforgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, when you say somebody owes you something, you say it like this: you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. And you can keep on saying, you own me, you own me, you own me. When you refuse to forgive somebody, you're held by that unforgiveness yourself. And now you are unforgiven. And you live a life of torment and torture. And that's what was going on in his life. And so, I said, so what we're going to do is I'm going to take this garbage can and we're going to take it outside and you're going to put it all in this can. And we're going to burn it before God as a sign. You're going to burn it before God and you're going to just let her go. And it was just contorted. I mean, he had so much demonic activity repressing him that it was just like, no, and it wasn't like that, but it was just like. We've seen some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But what this is not like that. But you can see the pushing and the pressure, and it's like these records of wrong, these records of wrong. And that's what America's going to have to do. You know, we're going to have to acknowledge and repent and forgive and move on. But you first got to have the conversation and move on. And so he finally does it. He finally gets to the point, but it was very difficult. It was very difficult. And puts it in there, and he's the one who's going to have to do it. Nobody's going to do it for him, and because it would have done no good if somebody else would have done it. And I soak it down with all kinds of flammable whatever it was, and just give him a pack of matches.
Mm.
And he just, tears was coming down his face. I mean, like her, you know, it's just like, wow, you see yourself as the victim in this, but you're the one holding her. And holding unforgiveness towards people, if you are keeping records of wrongs, look at you. Just go look at your body. You were tormented. You were tortured. And that's what's going to happen to you until the day that you forgive in your heart. Move on and realize he was so caught up, he could not see that he had his own issues in his own life. And so he throws the match on this thing, and this big black smoke comes out of this thing, and it literally a demonic face. Mm. This just roaring smoke comes out, and it wasn't, you know, and it just looks like a face, like a demonic face was in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, my goodness. And you should have seen this woman get free.
Mm.
I mean, she just got so free.
Wow.
It was amazing to watch her. She just, like, this freedom came over her. You know why? Because for the first time, she felt loved in that relationship. Why? Because love keeps no records of wrongs. If you are tormented and tortured because you think you got someone on someone, you're being destroyed by it. If anyone has anything on anybody, it's God on you.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, he says, listen, if you don't forgive, he says, this is how God will treat you. He will turn you over to the tormentor to be tortured and tormented to the day that you forgive and forgive in your heart. This is how God will do this. This is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So much for all these doctors being priests today.
Mm-hmm.
And so love keeps no records of wrong. So what's going to happen is, and we're seeing it right now today, that then a lot of record keeping will be kept as time gets closer to the end. When the love of most grows cold, realize you're going to have, and I will talk about that in the beginning as I begin to share about this next particular dark tactic from the Alinsky models, is it's all about record keeping. It's all about keeping data, you know, Google.jazz in the context of keeping all this data on folks.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beast economy. It's all about data and collection, that type of thing. And some things that God shared with me, and prophetically, I'll share that. But so love keeps no records of wrongs, which means this, despite what that person did to you, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
They owe you nothing. Think about it. They owe you nothing. And you're freeing yourself up. And by the way, they can never get free of what you won't forgive them of. So if you don't forgive them, they cannot get free from it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you won't forgive them, then I won't forgive them. But if you'll forgive them, I'll forgive them. It's so not as relevant to the point you thought it was. So love keeps no records of wrongs. Then he says in verse 6, love does not delight in evil. That's just so important because I'm naive. I'm always shocked. I'm just always shocked. You know, but as a Christian police officers, we should not be calling people dirtbags.
Mm.
Period.
That's right.
You know, because people have constitutional rights. You know, we're not judge and jury. And so, you know, we should actually be thinking about how we're talking about the citizens of America and then allow the judge to be able to take them and a jury of their peers to be able to try them. And then whatever happens and whatever correction needs to take place in their life, they're still human beings, still loved by God. And so we have to understand that we don't want to talk like that about folks. But also the people, just the haters in regards to the political haters that are out there, just the venom that's coming out. And then bad things happen to folks and people are like, this is great. They deserve that. It's like, really? Did you bring my name up when you were with them?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's because you don't want bad things to happen to people. God loves folks. He loves folks, and he forgives folks. And we have to share truth. Yeah, we do talk about truth, but it's in love.
Right.
Speak the truth in love in hopes that people would hear from God and gently hear from God in regards to grant them repentance in the context of that. That's the reason why. And it's not about hating on folks, because love does not delight in evil. We don't want evil things to happen to anyone. And we don't rejoice in any of that. And everybody deserves, you know, outside of Jesus Christ, we all deserve the worst, but we get the best when we accept Jesus, only because of Jesus, not because of our own works.
That's right.
And I have a couple more after this break I want to talk to you about.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You're a single mom, and your 10-year-old boy needs a good male role model. But what can you do about that? Well, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Gary Chapman offers a starting point.
Find some man older than your son, whom you respect and whom you trust, and ask him to make contact with your son and take him out to lunch.
Everything starts with one event. It can be a lunch, it can be a breakfast, it can be a ball game. But relationships start with one contact. Ask that person to invite him to something. Get to know him. And then see what happens. And that person may well pick up on it. It may begin to become something that develops a relationship where this young man can trust this person and begin to open up to this person. But that young man needs somebody with whom he can talk.
It's true that guys need trusted older men to help navigate life. For more advice to help your family thrive, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about love. Do we have love? Got love? You heard about got milk? The question is got love, how relevant it is in the context of God, since God is love? And just going through just a contextual list, because it says that the Word of God lets us know, and Jesus let us know, that the love of most would go cold. So We're finding out that that record keeping will increase, and celebrating when evil things happen to people will increase. But also, the next thing he tells us here, but love rejoices with the truth. So there's folks today that say that they love, but they say, oh, will you quit telling me what God says? Will you quit telling me what the light perspective of this thing is? Preach, teach, teach, preach, teach, preach, preach. It's like, well, no, love rejoices in the truth. And the truth is, you know, outside of God, that all men have fallen short of the glory of God, and all of our righteousness is our righteous works are like filthy rags before God. And so we all need God. We all need God. That's the truth. And so from that perspective, you can build on the truth and saying, okay, I'm going to give my life to God. And then God says, now you have to be my disciple, you know, to be able to follow him, to be set free, because truly, if we know and follow his teachings, then we are his disciples. So the truth is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. The word is Jesus. Jesus is the word. And so we rejoice in the truth. We want to know what the truth is. And so we're not okay when we don't rejoice when people are lying. We're brokenhearted and like, oh my goodness, they're lying. And people are like, lie to me more. And it's like, really? As Christians, we don't want to be lied to. You know, we want to be able to hear the truth, but also we want to be truth bearers, and we want to be able, by God's grace, to be truthful in the whole situations. And when you look, not only do the loveless not enter into the kingdom of God, but he says that liars don't even enter into the kingdom of God. You think about that, and that's something else. And the reason why that a person who doesn't move in love and doesn't love doesn't rejoice in the truth. And so they're moving in a lie. Does that make sense? Yeah. So That's the reason why it's like, oh, I got to keep from telling lies. No, you just need to love. And when you love them, you won't lie to them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is it's all rooted and founded in loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Because if you'll do this, all the laws of the prophets are tied up on this, hang on these one few words. And so that it rejoices in the truth. And then it always perseveres. You think about it. I mean, it always protects, So then love is a protective action. It's a kinetic thing. And so you want to be able to protect your loving. The love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. Love is a protective thing. And so when you see somebody that's an injustice taking place and you do nothing, then you're not you're not loving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's amazing how so many people are quick to run to protect them in a physical way. It's like, no, don't worry about your life. That's easy to give. Give of yourself, protect in a way that revolves you losing something inwardly, you know, your reputation or something like that.
Yeah.
It's easier to give your life than it is to lay the other part down.
Right.
It's easier to die for God than it is to live for him.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
Because you have to die to yourself.
That's right.
And we found out that if somebody runs and dies for God by throwing themselves into the fire, but they didn't have love.
Wasted.
You know what I'm saying? They went from the fire to the fire, right? It's like, Jiminy.
Wasted sacrifice.
That's
Lord.
A wasted sacrifice. Mm. Eternal fire. Mm. And so love always protects. So you have this protect. If you're always trying to, you're careful with your words, and and I've always tried to do this to you know, in raising my children and speaking to my family, I'll go back and explain things, and try to help give an understanding in hopes that I wasn't misunderstood, because I want to protect them in the context of that. Sure. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when parents explain things, it's like, okay, well, you know. But later on in life, they go, I'm so glad you explained things.
You're going to need this.
And so, you know, love always protects, and then love always trusts.
Mm.
You think about it. So if you say you love someone, then you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that means, but if you have been not, you have not been trustworthy, you're going to need to build that love back. You have to build that trust back in their life. And but they're willing to trust again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're willing to they're willing to love again in the context of that. And you can love someone and trust them to the extent that they can be trusted. But you all of a sudden, you don't give the chickens to the fox. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the context of that. But you got to be willing to love again and try again and try again. Because, you know, love always trusts. And there's no trust. If you don't trust your husband, you don't love your husband.
Mm.
If you don't trust your wife, you don't love your wife.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you live an untrustworthy life before your husband, before your wife, then, hey, help them out a little bit. You know, give them some groundwork. Because if you say you love God, you should be living a trustworthy life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we make mistakes and all, but the majority of your life, it should be a bump in the road, not some long history lesson about living an untrustworthy life. And so love always trusts. And so we think, man, I don't trust anybody. What you're really saying is, I don't love anybody.
Mm.
All I can trust is myself. What you're saying is, all I love is myself.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is protect yourself, your things, and your reputation and all that, and saying, you know what, this is not about me. You know, we'll talk more about that in the next segment, but we're called to lay down our lives. That's what love is. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life, his reputation, for his friend. And Jesus set the example. And love always hopes. You know, hope is a desire with expectation of attaining that which you desire. Begin to speak hopeful things. If you love folks and people and America, begin to just paint the picture of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, you know, like how Dr. Ben Carson, you know, speaks a word of hope in his book America the Beautiful, and if we speak hateful things about America, we don't love America. If we speak doubt and unbelief and no hope and all,
you'll have
like,
what you say.
Hey, you're not loving America here.
That's right.
You know, in the context of that. And then he says, love perseveres. Love always perseveres. It's something it just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't persevere in some folks' life when he says the love of most will grow cold. And so we have to say, keep guard over this. We have to keep guard over our love. How am I loving? And one way to do that is to stay in an abiding relationship with love himself. The reason why, I mean, if Jesus met with the Father every single morning, early in the morning, to be able to spend time with him to get his direction and instruction for the day, I mean, don't you think we have to do the very same thing? And he will remind us, love himself will remind us how to respond that day to things. But apart from abiding with the Lord, he says, you can do nothing. So I encourage you, first of all, if you've already made Jesus the Lord of your life, begin to abide with the Lord of your life. And you can find out more how to abide. We have a free plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. Request your free plan today so you can begin to abide with love, so you won't be left at the altar, you know, saying, hearing the words, I never knew you, you know, because love is how you know God. When you begin to love folks and go through those sufferings of loving. And then finally, he says, love never fails. If you've been worried about failure, you've been worried about things not succeeding, move into love, because love never fails. And see, the fear factor was coming in because you're worried about fear of loss, you know, fear of not getting a gain, you know, fear of your stuff and things and, you know, your sphere. The truth is, but when you lay that all down and you're moving in love, there's no fear anymore. I mean, so you're just like, I can love. But you can't, you cannot fear and love at the same time. They're like bipolar opposites. And so love covers a multitude of sins. Fear actually reveals a multitude of sins because they're trying to undo you. They're trying to take you down in the context of that because they fear you in the context of that. So the question is, you know, what is love? Do you have love? Is it important? Since it's in the last day, one of the measurements of society is going to be where we are in the context of love. And so great wickedness is going to increase. Darkness is going to increase. All these things, the opposites of these things are going to be taking place then. If the love of most will grow cold, that means, then he says right here that love is patience. There's going to be very little patience in the last days. When he says love is kind, there's going to be very little kindness in the last days. When love doesn't envy, there's going to be a ton of envy in the last days. When he says that love doesn't boast, there's going to be a lot of boasting in the last days. When it says love is not proud, it's going to be a lot of pride in the last days. When he says that love is not rude, it's going to be a lot of rudeness in the last days. When he says that love is not self-seeking, it's going to be all about self-seeking in the last days. When he says love is not easily angered, there's going to be a lot of ticked off people walking all over the face of this earth in the last days. When he says love keeps no records of wrongs, it means there's going to be a lot of records of wrongs being kept. When he says love does not delight in evil, there's going to be a lot of delight and a lot of evil taking place in those days. When he says love rejoices in the truth, there'll be a lot of people who hate the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. There'll be venomous things said against those who bring the truth. And when he says love always protects, there'll be very little protection in the last days. When he said love always trusts, there'll be very little trust in the last days. And he says when love always hopes, there'll be very little hope in the last days. And he says, when love perseveres, he'll say, that's sexy, and there's very little perseverance in the last days. And there'll be a lot of people falling away from the faith. Because he says, love never fails. So there'll be a lot of failure if you leave love in the last days. Let's just go after love with everything in our heart. Let's go after God. Let's make love the synergy of our life. Loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
I want to encourage you to visit our sponsor and our underwriters, the Coffee House in Pensacola, Florida. Wonderful coffee and freshly made sandwiches in a wonderful, peaceful environment. Visit the Coffee House, Pensacola, Florida, Navy Boulevard.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We are going right into the 11th tactic, the 13 tactics, talking about the Saul Alinsky methodologies of organizing or nudging or pushing or getting your way. And the reason why we're talking about it is because we were led to this by the Lord. It started off, you can go back and listen to it. There's several different parts. If you listen to them in the context, you'll be totally enlightened on Lucifer's methodologies. And you say, why would you say that? Well, the very beginning of the book. I've got the book in my hand right here. It's Rules for Radicals, written by Saul Alinsky. It's dedicated in the very front of the book to Lucifer. The very first one that did these tactics. And then as we got the book in, we read it, because I was reading a digital version first, it's dedicated to Lucifer in the front, but then it's dedicated to, prior to being president, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I'm thinking, we need to find out what this is, because why would they be involved in anything dedicated to Lucifer? And we also found out that, you know, organizing in the context of America is not a negative thing. It's just if you're in the context of the Constitution and under, as Christians, up under what God would say. And one good prime example of that is who I believe is an apostle sent from the Lord, was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who set a beautiful example of how to stand rightly before God, stand up as a citizen of America, and hold us all accountable to what God's original intent was for this nation. And he led us to a better place, a place of his original intent. And what you can find out more about that. But we're going to go into the 11th tactic here. And what we're doing is sharing the tactic. This was written reportedly while he was in jail. And it was written too in 1971, which means, you know, Dr. King never would have seen this. But I believe, based on his life, he would have thought, don't think so, don't back that up, because he's a Christian.
Sure.
You know, and you got to see his 10 commitments to be able to walk with him. The first one was you had to know Jesus, walk with him, and abide with him. And so as we're starting this 11th tactic, talking about it, we're going to share with you what the tactic is talked about. And what they said was, in the context of this, that Barack Obama, prior to being President Obama, taught Alinsky tactics for 4 years.
Wow.
He taught them and was on the payroll, reportedly, of Alinsky for 4 years, and, of course, was an organizer, so obviously used the tactics. But just, okay, that's how close he was to 13 tactics. He taught them. And then Hillary Clinton did her college thesis on them. And you can find out more about this as you listen to the whole organizers of the day versus organizers of the dark. And the thesis was so intense that they when her husband became president and she's just the first lady, the college sealed her essay. They sealed it. And you can actually see the title of it and all that, but it's Alinsky's methodology she wrote on.
Wow.
And it's like, But it doesn't matter what people write. You can just see their life. And by the way, she and President Obama and anybody can do whatever they're going to do. We all have that right in life to do whatever. But we as the church have to find out, you know, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to be able to pay attention. And, you know, what do we need to do in the context of this? Are we being organized? Are Lucifer tips being used to organize America and the world? You know, if they are, what do we need to do? You know, how do we need to respond to that? Because we saw what happened in Germany when Lucifer tips were being used, and it turned out immediately, just like we saw when Saul, the Pharisee, was organizing, it ended up in a frenzy, snatching followers of Jesus Christ out of their houses and great persecution on the church. We saw it with Hitler, great persecution on the Jews, the Christians, and other folks that they didn't want to be there as they went into Thor and everything else that they were worshiping over there. And so this is the 11th tactic. I want to share this tactic, and then I'm going to talk to you about what God said to me. That kind of just kind of, you know, what are we being organized for? And the 11th, I'll just tell you that first. I'm going to tell you this first. This is what the Lord spoke to me on August the 12th, and He had me in this vision. In this vision, I was in a big, huge office, and it was office pod. So you imagine a big office space, but they had those different pods set up where people were working in those different separated cubby holes, I guess you would call them, but it was a big open space. And I realized that everybody was gathering a whole bunch of data on everybody. There was just tons of data being gathered, personal information about everyone, everything. And all of a sudden, you know, I just thought to myself, I think, this is not right. This is not right. And this is total control of everything, I said. And the vision, I said, this is total control of everything. And it was personal information, social security, everything, tracking information, everything. I was just gathering every piece of data.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden there was a break where we all went on break and everybody had their own bulletin board, their own little bulletin board in their areas. And it wasn't a safe area to be able to communicate, obviously, what I was about to communicate. And so I was going to write on my bulletin board, you know, and I started writing prophetically on the bulletin board. And this is what I wrote. And I wrote, and the number of his name was 666. And that's what the Word of God talks about, that there'll be an economy, the beast economy. The beast economy, John, can you look that up while I'm continuing to talk? A beast economy in Revelation. And the beast economy, that things are being shifted right now for that to be able to take place. Now, understand the folks that are, that, I mean, if it was Hitler talking to you, he would tell you, so what? As long as I'm over the economy, I don't care what beast it is. And so men want to rule the world. So it looks like we're being organized. And you go back and listen to the VFN Torch to Johnny Foote when he gave the prophetic word sometime back, and we're going into the beast economy and all these different things. It's like, that's why we're being organized. So that the things could be, so that I can help you. And we can better, you know, control things and distribute things out. And, you know, and those type of things that take place. And so this is what he says, that there will be a beast economy that that nobody will be able to, big or small, will be able to buy or sell, will be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And the number of his name, the number of his name is 666. It's in Revelation 13:16. And he says, he also, this is the beast, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the man's number. His number is 666. So God took me in a vision. So that's exactly what's going on, because we're asking the question, right? The question is, and God's just unfolding this. And so this is that. This is that. And so we're being organized in the context of that. And by the way, everybody's going to be broadsided, because everybody's thinking this, and it's really that in the context of it. Everybody's looking at the right hand, but you should be looking at the left hand. So what is the 11th tactic of that Lucifer's tips here for organizing, Alinsky talks about in his 13 tactics, which the president taught for 4 years, and Hillary Clinton did her college thesis on the sealed. The 11th tactic is this. If you push a negative hard and deep enough, it was a video. It was the video. They saw the video that created the riots, which caused the embassy to be, and that's the reason why Chris is dead, right? If you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into a counter side, because every positive has a negative. So you got to find what the, I mean, when you say up, Satan says down. When you say right, they say left. That's why, you know, that when Marshall Gantz is talking about, you know, organizing, and he was on the Bill Moyers show on Public Broadcasting Network, which you can see it. You can get to it, at least, on the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com. He talks about that a organizer is almost schizophrenic. in nature. I guess that would be the word, or bipolar, because they never, they're not looking. They have no place. They just want to. If you say up, their place is down. If they say right, their place is left. If they, because the point is not the, it's to polarize so that you can organize, but the polarization creates the conflict that allows you to begin to negotiate, and then negotiate, then you deorganize and you settle, and that's the model.
Sounds like organized chaos.
Well, that's exactly what it is, and so that's the tactics, that's the techniques, and the context of that. And so what we're seeing here is, you know, that this is Lucifer's tips and tactics. But so then, if they push a negative long enough and hard enough, then it'll push to its counter side, because every positive has a negative. And when somebody, you know, is trying to, and people are trying to have logical discussions, it's like, you're wasting your breath and your time, and you're buying into the whole Alinsky model here. Just relax a little bit.
Right.
And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, looking at the light side, the one who's the organizer of the day, Mark 11, 22 through 25, he says, have faith in God. This is what Jesus said. Have faith in God when he's talking to the folks there. Truly, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in my name in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your heavenly Father will forgive you your sins. You say, why in the world would you say that? Because God's created us in his image and his likeness. And when you look at just the Tower of Babel and understand that you can speak stuff long enough and loud enough, and if people have to buy into your narrative, they have to buy into it. And they bought in to the narrative of the Tower of Babel, and Nimrod wanted to build a tower to heaven. And so he began to just speak out his narrative, which is totally against God. It was a negative. It was the counter side of a positive. And everybody bought into it. They were unified in one effort, in one direction, and they were going to build this tower to heaven. And this is what God said. You know, let's go down there and see what they're doing. And when they found out what they're doing, they came back. The report was, they're going to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it God? No. But is it how God's designed human beings? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every evil person who's controlled by darkness, they understand, Lucifer understands, the church doesn't understand this as much. We need to get wise in this, that you have to buy into the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to buy in. That's why you got to get discipled. That's why you got to start reading your Bible, because if you don't get in the Word, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. You're not going to stand for God if you don't know how God stands. And so when he's sitting here saying you have the faith, so if you believe the lie and you start confessing it and buy into it, now your faith and your creativeness is going to lock into that. And all of a sudden, it's going to come to pass, just like the Nazi party came to pass, just like all these other things came to pass, because people just bought in to what the narrative that was being said, because people have to get the buy-in. Why? Because you are created with your own authority, and you have to actually get the buy-in. Well, listen, with walking with God, you have to get the buy-in with God. You're going to have to know what his word is. You're going to have to find out his ways. And you can't walk in darkness while you're claiming to be a child of the light. And we already talked about that already, and God spoke to me very specifically. We've got people trying to play both sides of the fence in the context of that, and it's untrue. Whoever that you're obeying is who you're a slave to. We're going to continue this conversation after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
5 years ago, and you remember this, Pat. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, the Lord led me to buy a vehicle. Okay? The Lord led me to buy a vehicle. And it was time in our life that, you know, we didn't want to get into a car payment or nothing like that. And since then, I've had car payments, you know what I'm saying, since that time. But at that particular time, we just wanted to just buy something cash. And I wanted to spend about, I think it was $3,000 or something like that, you know, and then just a second vehicle.
Pocket change for John.
Walking around change.
That's Pat's bling bling money. But anyway.
That's Chris's.
Chris. Bling. I'm sorry. Chris is
the bling bling.
Chris is the bling bling.
Pat just buys Sink's paraphernalia. Oh, they have toothpicks with like the logo on it?
I just buy tools.
Yeah, tools. Yeah, that's his generator.
Nothing I can use.
Well, so I'm spending all this time, and me and Pat, actually you and I were both looking for a vehicle that time. And
was that the same time?
Yeah, same exact time.
Oh, wow.
So I'm scouring.
Which is paid off, by the way.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God is good.
God is very good. Mm-hmm.
You want to pay mine off now?
No. I got another one.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Okay. You had to move a new, bigger, longer
that
limousine.
That limousine. Have you seen the? Yeah, it's on the torch. It's on the torch. Yeah. If you haven't seen
that one, big enough
limo.
For his trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Big enough for his trainer to fit in there.
he's bulking up. Protein.
Got to make room for my tools.
Oh.
Is that what he calls his bicep?
Wow.
You got names for them now?
You got names? He removed guns. He wanted a more subtle approach. Calls them tools now. Yeah. You know, he thought guns was over the top. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I got pistols.
water gun pistols.
Water gun pistols. Squirt.
Cap gun.
Cap guns.
Cap.
Ting, ting, ting. Ting. What were you talking about?
Yes, this car. So I'm searching and searching.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about the 11th tactic, the dark tactic of Saul Alinsky, and organizing children of the dark. Mm. And it's talking about pushing a negative long enough. In other words, you know, saying something that's not true, but it's the bipolar opposite of what is true. And it's very important as believers that we know what the truth is. It's the truth that sets you free. If so many people are saying, listen, we know we're a free country and we're supposed to be free. Well, you know, if you're part of the 97% that are not reading the Word of God and applying it to your life, or the 81% that's not even touching the Word of God, it's the truth that sets you free. Mm. And so it's easy to buy into a lie when you don't know the truth. And this that our founding fathers, there's a reason why they said we're one nation under God. And you've got to go and listen to America, how we got here and how we stay here. It didn't just happen. And there's people that are rolling over in their, well, they're not rolling over their grave because they burnt their bones for making sure you can have a Bible to be able to read today that you're not reading. And so we got to make sure when people are giving us narratives that it lines up with God's narrative, because you could have some Nimrod giving you some.
It's,
you can have, well, Nimrod was the one that did the Tower of Babel.
I know.
You have
flashbacks.
Nimrod.
Okay.
Moving on.
How's your scooter doing?
Yeah. So
Nimrod. So you listen, you can have some Nimrod who has a great vision in his own perspective or her perspective, who's wanting to build a tower that they will succeed in, and they have enough ability now, because what God did, he went down there and saw Nimrod building this tower, and they want to build it to heaven. Everybody was buying into the narrative, and they were going to do it. So God said this. God said, listen, they're going to accomplish, because they're all in agreement. They're all walking in agreement in one vision, one clarity, one narrative. They're going to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that he defeated that, he said, go down there and confuse their language. That's why it's called the Tower of Babel. Because all of a sudden they couldn't communicate anymore. Now, what do we have now? We have all this technology that's helping people bypass the Babel. Mm. And so we can communicate now with technology where you can, things will translate. You have little apps that translate for you that can really begin to get a vision and say, hey, now I can see how we can rule the world now, because we can build this tower to heaven. We can have this thing because now we can communicate, because you just speak into it, your language, and it'll, you know, come out in the other language over there, trying to defeat. Of course, you can't, you know, wisdom will defeat what God's going to do. Mm-hmm. They'll just come and confuse it again. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is this. You don't want to be on Nimrod's side. You don't want to, even though it looks, it can succeed, you think that's a great concept. And you, when you say this thing can work, you're not lying, because God was not lying when he said they're going to accomplish this thing. He said, but this ain't going to happen.
Right.
And so he confused them, which means, understand that you are a creative force. You are a creative human being. You can speak things, and the people, I'm telling you what, people that don't even know God sometimes understand how they're created greater than people who say they know God, and Jesus writes out in his word how that they can speak things into existence. And but the world's out there talking about, if you broadcast things out, things come to you, and all these different secret type things. And what it is that we're creative. We can create darkness, or we can create light. We can do those type of things. And so we have to understand that when the truth of God comes to us, we have to go to it and gather it. But he says specifically, when he's talking about the four soils in Matthew chapter 13, he says, listen, some soil falls on the rocky places on the ground, and immediately the adversary comes and steals it and takes it away. So not only do you got to get in the word, but you got to hold on to the word. Mm. You got to meditate on it. You got to soak on it, because the enemy knows he needs to use a narrative to get you to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious stuff. And they understand. Lucifer understands that Hitler needed a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And the organizers of today who organize in darkness, not every organizer is doing that. They understand that you have a narrative, but the organizers of the day, even Jesus has a narrative. But the thing is it a true narrative, or is it a lying narrative? Is it a day narrative, or is it a night narrative? And it's so important because people will buy into that. And if you mislead God's people because you balled into a dark narrative, you're going to be held accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally held accountable for that. And Jesus said, go make disciples of the nations. That's every one of us, all the different ethnos of the world. Well, the word comes from word ethnos or ethnic groups. And so what disciples are people that actually know the truth. They know what God's truth is. They walk in it, and the truth sets them free. America's free because it was one nation under God and the word of God, that we're free to worship God freely in this nation. And the enemy's creeping in with a new narrative to try to undo that. And if you buy into this narrative, I'm not saying it won't be successful. I'm saying it's going to be successful if the church does not rise up and say, you know what, God, we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
We see the narrative. We see how the enemy's coming in and defeating all these other things that you laid up to be able to. But, you know, God, you're greater than this. The truth is, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to know what the truth is. So when I hear people pushing a negative so hard, trying to get us to buy into the bipolar opposite of what God's word says, I know it's a lie. I know it's a lie. And people are so shocked today that when somebody lies, they go, you know, it's offensive to say that somebody lied. It's like, isn't it more offensive to be lied to than to call a lie? This is the negative. The negative got pushed so hard now that people are convinced now to call a liar is worse than a person being the liar. That's the narrative.
Yeah.
The narratives today that somebody bald-faced lies to you, you're not supposed to say anything because it's worse for you to call them a liar than it is for them to lie to you.
Wow.
Is that brilliant? That is the 11th tactic.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 11th tactic. Because when you see congressmen, you see Lyndon Leaders, they're going like, you know, I misspoke. It's like, that was an intense
lie.
That was an intense lie. That was a very intense lie, you know, and God can forgive you for it, but help us out here because we're going to buy into your darkness here, and we're going to buy into your narrative. And if you'll do that, you'll do anything.
That's right.
You'll do anything. And so he says very specifically that we can't, if we don't give up everything, we cannot be his disciples. So if we follow his teachings and we're willing to let everything go, then it's okay. We can follow God. The enemy's going to try to control you through all these different things and with these narratives. And we understand that in the context of what they're doing is trying to push the opposite, the bipolar opposite of what God's word says. And understand that God said they will accomplish, this Nimrod vision will be accomplished if we don't go down there and confuse their language.
Mm.
If we don't go down there and confuse their language, this narrative that they're promulgating, that people now clearly kind of understand, and they're going in that direction, they will accomplish it. What is the dark side of this tactic? The dark side of the 11th tactic is if you push a negative hard and deep enough, it will break through into its counterside, and every positive has a negative. That's what you saw taking place with the Libyan embassy over there. They were pushing that video, and that's going on. But you know what? We're wise to that now, and we understand. And we got to start find out what God's truth is. We got to get into the Word of God. We got to be a disciple. We got to begin to abide with God, and we can stand amidst all the lies, and we can be light in the midst of all the darkness.
I want to thank you for joining us today, and also visit our underwriters and sponsors. Visit the $50 Eye Guy in Pensacola, Florida. You don't want to miss it. He has so many different type of glasses you can pick from. $50 Eye Guy.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.